Hi, it's Rabbi Jim Egolf. I want to thank you so much for tuning into this podcast this week. Well, and I apologize because I've been running ragged for a while. I've been all over the place, from camp to a museum in New York to just all sorts of things going on. And I haven't been able to be with you, so I appreciate that you continue to be a loyal listener. So this week I'm going to kind of go back to a sermon that I gave, but it kind of really delves on the issue of holiness. What does it mean to be holy? And by no means is this the final compendium, completeness. You don't ever have to worry about holiness ever again. But I wanted to continue to have the conversation about what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to strive towards holiness? What does it mean to wrestle with this human and yet divine question? You can always email me your thoughts at ravisinvictorjim@aol.com, or you could Skype me by calling me at 610-624-3441 from any landline in the United States of America, or for that matter, around the world. Again, I thank you so much for joining me. Shalom. So the Torah portion this week, Shmini, delves into so many different topics that have to do with the priesthood and the various ceremonies that bring Aaron and his sons to become the family of the high priests. We're also given rules about kashrut. We are, for all intents and purposes, told that we are what we eat, and thus a diet acceptable or kosher is necessary. These allow us to be in a greater state of holiness with God because these kosher or acceptable foods are God's diet. There's a title for a book. All this, it supposedly elevates our sense of being holy, and then we hit the problem part of our parsha, the deaths of Nadav and Abihu. I'm not going to go into the various reasons for their deaths, the arguments that seek to answer the question why regarding their deaths. However, I think that we have an important and difficult consideration to ponder when we read this Torah portion. Namely, what is holy? Think about it. What does it mean for us to be, for us to claim an elevated state of existence? First, though, I need to take a walk through a few snapshots of holiness and consider what it meant in ancient times. According to the Jewish Encyclopedia, which can be found at jewishencyclopedia.com, they defined it as unapproachableness, the state of separation from and elevation above things common, profane, or sensual, first in a physical and external, and later in a spiritual sense, moral purity and perfection, incapable of sin or wrong. To Moses and afterwards to Israel, Adonai on Sinai manifested the divine emanation in fire as an unapproachable deity, and therefore as a holy being like devouring fire. In his first vision, Isaiah sees Adonai surrounded by fiery beings, seraphim. Seraphim are books. Their faces covered with wings so that they cannot gaze upon Adonai. And Isaiah hears the seraphim cry, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy. Or maybe unapproachable, unapproachable, unapproachable is Adonai Tzevaot. The whole earth is filled with God's glory. Isaiah, the prophet, is in fear for his life because his eyes have reportedly seen Adonai. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. When we think of the unapproachables in our world today, the, dare I borrow the name of a hit TV program, movie, the untouchables, who are they? I mean, clearly some of the major religious figures in the world have this sense of sacred remoteness to them. Think about the Pope, for example, and the Popemobile, or perhaps the Dalai Lama. Though even they have had to struggle to come off their pedestals and interface with the people they seek to lead. Now, one of the things you should know is one of my ideas is the notion of secular sin. And by this phrase, secular sin, I mean a secular manifestation that leads to somebody condemning or to a ridicule that is often reserved for religious condemnation. There is nothing religious about it except that people treat the condition with a religious reaction. I also think that we deal with secular holiness, the sense that because the secular world has told a person or a group of people, or those around them, they are so special that they have the right to a distance that might have existed for a high priest or a pope. That's secular holiness. So if you're struggling to try to think about, okay, well, what does that mean, Jim? You know, secular holiness. Here's some examples. Michael Jackson, Madonna. According to many reports, pre- and post-incarceration, Martha Stewart. Something about everyone being told how to act when being around her and not to speak to her unless it's scripted. The Queen of England. Don't touch the back. Don't touch the back. Nothing particularly religious about any of these people, except for the Queen. She's the leader of the Anglican Church. The Queen is the leader of the Anglican... Anyway, that would be a digression. But all their worlds and the stories that surround them have a certain unapproachableness and otherworldliness that seems to have this sense of what I call the secular sacred. I share this with you because in our modern day, there are few examples of the holiness and the special condition that a high priest might have lived within. This exclusionary life filled with meticulous attention to detail was the definition of holiness. Interesting that many of the secular institutions, the mega wealthy, the mega popular, the sense that the holy and the special must be so far beyond the regular, the mundane. Yet we are reminded that even those who were considered the most holy to God in this Torah portion were not beyond the human condition, and that they too were, and I would say are, bound to certain realities. When God strikes Nadav and Abihu dead, Aaron goes silent. Even the person who was God's chosen servant in the most sacred place was not beyond the possibility of tragedy and despair. Despair, depression, these secular sins of our society, because we're taught by certain pharmaceutical companies that we could just take a pill and it would solve all of our problems, can also visit the most sacred family in the Israelite community. You see, rabbinic thought and teaching sought to do something radical with the concept of holiness. It sought to infuse the human spirit with a sense of the holy being possible. Still, the idea that we could all be holy, that everything we might do could be holy, it creates a sense of discomfort. I found the following on a blog of a person proclaiming to be a liberal Jew who is not happy, and in good taste, I really can't tell you the name of the blog from the Bima or even on this podcast, but I will try to make sure that I mention it in the show notes. But this particular individual writes, granted, I am no chassid, nor am I a mystic by any stretch of the imagination. However, I can see the benefit to striving towards holiness in mundane actions. Yet this idea that there is always holiness around me makes me uncomfortable. Neusner writes that some Jews feel obligated to put on a kippah when praying in a shul or when studying Torah in a group setting. He asks, in that case, must these Jews put on a kippah when he or she works for the Federation? Do they have to put on a kippah in the office of the executive director or the president of the Jewish Federation? This is the kind of bending ideas of holiness that makes me uncomfortable. Jews are commanded to give tzedakah. They are also commanded to eat kosher food and visit the sick. Then, according to this twisted self-applied logic, should these Jews wear a kippah for all of these commandments? Or, say, all the time? I get that Neusner's thesis is that giving will give back to the community, but come on already. This is looking for holiness in all the wrong places. Treat people respectfully. Yes, take care of your work and try to make the world better, but if we are to make everything about holiness, we will find that nothing isn't holy. And therefore, nothing is actually holy. One of the responses I come to when considering the idea of the holy is that the concept itself asks us to make conscious differentiation. When we have to make a difference between Shabbat and the rest of the days of the week, we don't have a problem. When it comes to other points in life, then it becomes tricky. The lesson our Torah portion tells us is that being holy is more than just a matter of elevation. For even the most elevated family in the Torah experiences tragedy. If we believe that good works, service to a sacred institution, and eating God's diet will give us God's shield, we are practicing for reasons that will be strained over the course of our lives and eventually may lead us to not believe. However, when we live a sense of holy and understand our expressions of holiness not as a series of Boy Scout merit badges, but as the way to tie the best and worst moments of our lives with the sacred selves and sacred purpose, then holiness is around us. As we read in Midrash from Bamidbar Rabbah, the Bible hallows the lowliest of acts, plowing, sowing, reaping, and the like, and elevates them into a service of God. When we eat, do we do so with a sacred consciousness based on the Torah and Judaism, or acknowledge that we do not practice holiness in this fashion as knowledgeable Reform Jews? In my opinion, better this than the moments I've experienced when I interrupt a bar bat mitzvah child in the middle of practice, trying to throw them off, and ask the question, "What did you have for lunch today?" And I watch as the child proudly announces, "A ham and cheese sandwich." And I see the parent mortified that their child outed the fact that they don't really keep a kosher home. There's a holiness to be found in the child's integrity. And I believe we teach the wrong lesson of please know when to fib to the rabbi about your lunch the next time so I am not embarrassed in front of our spiritual leader. Personally, as a rabbi, I'd rather your child act on their individual integrity, for in this is the beginning of creating a sense of holy and righteousness and decency that we really need in our world to make it better. Bottom line, holiness is the godly glue that holds together our lives regardless of who we are, with the sense of Torah's purpose. Nadav and Abihu were not so holy as to not be touched by death for doing something wrong. Today, Madoff and Ebers are examples of people who acted as if they were beyond the possibility of something going wrong, as if they too were untouchable, as if they too had the unapproachableness that is ascribed by the Jewish Encyclopedia to the term holy. Nadav, Ebers, Abihu, Madoff are only examples for holiness has to be something that is shared and understood to exist in all parts of our lives as a Jewish community. The Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh of the temple service in Isaiah is the same word we use to begin Shabbat, end Shabbat, eat matzah. Now that should teach us something about the ubiquitous nature of this word. Or bury a loved one. When Kadosh is truly understood and lived, we find ourselves in the middle of Psalm 139. Where can I go from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the depths, behold, you are there. If I take wing and skirt the wings of the morning, behold, there you are as well. Great Rabbi, what do you want me to do? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about your answers to these questions. Not my answers, your answers. What have you done to make your life holy? What is it that you have yet to do that might need to be done to make your life more holy? Who have you declared not holy who actually might be? What ideas hold together your sense of the holy, your sense of integrity, your actions that limit you? And yet, because they limit you, they elevate your sense of the world. Aaron, Nadav, Abihu, Eleazar, or Itamar, your task as a Jew is to find your holiness that holds your life together, that would be with you no matter where you might go and in what condition you might find yourself. What would allow you to always respond with the words, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy? I wish you the best of weeks. Shavua Tov.